This podcast is brought to you compliments of Kaspersky Lab, protecting more than 300 million systems worldwide against internet threats.
Welcome to the Digital Underground Podcast. I've got my friend Ryan Narine on the line. Oh, that's some good rhymingness. So we're going to talk about some of the takeaways that we got out of the CANSEC West conference, which happened last week up in Vancouver. Probably one of, I think, both of our favorite conferences of the year.
It is.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's easily in the top two of my...
Yeah. Not just in terms of the technical content of the talks, but just how well it's run and the whole environment. It's great.
Oh, great city, great. The weather is not always great, although we did have good weather this year. And yeah. Dragos puts on a fantastic show. The organization is great. There's always the point-to-one fun that, you know, gives us a lot of fun stories to write. So,
yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's small enough that you can kind of find everybody you want to talk to.
Oh, yeah. You come down the stairs. There's that little Starbucks. Everyone's either hanging there or by the point-to-one room, or you go down another flight of stairs and you find everyone. It's just like very, you know, very cozy and interactive. That's kind of what I like about it more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. So one of the big things, or probably the biggest thing that people were talking about this year was, you know, probably aside from the whole idea of, you know, selling bugs and exploits and, you know, whether companies like Google and Microsoft should be buying those bugs and whether researchers should be selling them privately or just handing them over to the vendors, which kind of dominated a lot of the discussion while we were there. But one of the things that I wrote about earlier this week was how, you know, I think that some of the exploit mitigations that Microsoft and Google and, you know, to a far lesser extent, Apple, I guess, and Mozilla have put into their browsers, things like ASLR and DEP, and some of the ones that are coming in IE10 in a couple months, have raised the bar in terms of exploiting browsers, you know, made it more difficult, more complicated, and it's not just sort of, you know, find a bug and then build the exploit and you're done. You know, a lot of the bugs that were used in Pwn to Own, as well as the Pwnium contest that Google ran, guys had to chain together, you know, two or three or sometimes four bugs in order to get not just compromise the browser, but get out of the sandbox or protected mode or whatever the case may be. And, you know, one of the VPN guys that you and I talked to, Ryan, said that. He said, you know, IE9's hard because of these things. IE10 on Windows 8 is even more complicated because they're adding more memory protections, like Force ASLR and the high entropy ASLR that are going to make things even more difficult. But, you know, not impossible, but I think the point I was trying to make was it's not that Microsoft or Google can really prevent somebody like the VPN team from compromising their browser, because I think we've proven that they really can't. You know, they can make it more difficult, they can make it more expensive and more time-consuming, but they can't prevent it, you know, absolutely. But what it's done is it's made it probably out of reach in a reasonable amount of time for just casual attackers. You know, they're going to need to find a different way in. They're going to need to look at older browsers, older operating systems, or something else, some phishing attack or something like that.
Well, I agree with that. I had the opposite takeaway from the conference. I mean, when I boarded my flight leaving Vancouver, I sent out a Twitter message saying basically, my big takeaway from CANSEC West is that ASLR and DEP and these mitigations are somewhat irrelevant. I threw out the word irrelevant more like as a devil's advocate to trigger some discussion. But I figured ASLR and DEP were irrelevant, and sandboxes are not really a panacea for these things. And, you know, kind of a tongue-in-cheek saying thing, as an industry, we need to find new mitigations because clearly these mitigations aren't working. And I get your argument. You know, we clearly have raised the bar for the casual attackers. But we're living in a world where there are no casual attackers that we really need to pay attention to anymore anyway. I mean, we're all, you know, everything is fitted with a firewall. We're somewhat secure against the everyday exploits. The attackers we need to be wary of and careful of is the attacker who we have not raised the bar on. And I thought that CanSec West, Pwn2Won't proved the Vupin guys, the guys who did the Chrome exploits, even the guys who did the Firefox exploit, Willem and Vincenzo, proved that these mitigations are just like a little, you know, a little speed bump. It's more of a speed bump than a roadblock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do.
Yes, they have to chain a bunch of exploits together. Yes, they have to jump out of a sandbox, or they have to like avoid the sandbox and, you know, end around the sandbox. But they are doing it, and they've proven that not only they are doing it, but it's become somewhat trivial if you know, you know, the common techniques for, you know, bypassing DEB, bypassing the SLR. The sandbox thing is a lot more complicated, but it's being done. I mean, these guys have proven it's being done, and that's the reason why Google is interested in paying big money for it, because they know it's possible. And in many cases, the attackers we need to be paying attention to have already mastered the art of bypassing mitigations on browsers. So in many cases, I disagree with you that the bar has been raised and we should kind of be patting ourselves on the back. I think we really need to start looking for new mitigations or hardening the existing mitigations which we have, which is what IE10 does. The news yesterday that they're going to add these two new things, IE10 on Windows 8 only, I believe it is.
I think, you know, the flip side of that argument is, I think that Google, by them being willing to pay $60,000 for every full sandbox escape, that shows how rare those are and how valuable they are. You know, they're not a commodity.
Correct, but they're not paying. They're not paying that price every day.
Not that many.
Well, not necessarily. They were paying that price as the guys who were interested in showing up at CanSec West and doing it. I'm pretty sure. And I'll tell you one thing. It was surprising to me that people went after Chrome during Google's Pwnium contest, because I actually agreed with ZDI and the Pwn2Won guys. I think Aaron put out a blog post saying there's no way people are going to show up for that contest because that $60,000 is not even a big the right price for a full sandbox escape. So I believe
it's a fraction.
And you and I both know that there are a bunch of other guys out there that have sandbox escape and just will never give it up to Google. I mean, the Vupin guys basically said that. They said, listen, give me $1 million and maybe I'll think about it.
Yeah, and I mean, to prove your argument, they said, look, we have, when they compromised IE9, and their attack also worked on IE10, they told us, they gave ZDI the Windows bug that they use,
but not
the
protected mode bypass.
But not, right, which is actually a bug in protected mode itself.
Correct. And they also gave ZDI the Chrome bug, but not the sandbox escape.
Yeah.
The Google guys have figured out that they were using Flash, which is not a part of like the full Chrome sandbox. And I was told they were at the conference.
Yeah, not yet.
Right,
yeah.
That this summer Flash will be put into our more restrictive sandbox, like the main Chrome sandbox. But that's the other thing. The other little tidbit there from the Vupin guys is not only did they have a vulnerability in protected mode bypass Microsoft's implementation of the sandbox, but they have multiple vulnerabilities. I know this Chokey guy, Chokey Bakrar from Vupin. He's prone to some hyperbole and he plays the media game very well. But you know, I have no reason to doubt that he has multiple vulnerabilities for protected mode bypass.
No, I don't either. And I also, you know, in private conversations, guys were saying, look, you know, we have these and we know that other people have them as well, and not just good guys. You know, we know just by looking at ongoing attacks, we know that some of the known, you know, APT groups or whatever you want to call those groups, I don't have a good name for them, have their own sandbox escapes too.
Correct. And that's why I'm saying that we shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back that the bar has been raised, because the guys who have these mitigation bypasses and have made it somewhat trivial are not only the bad guys, and I don't want to use this term, but it is the APT guys. You know, Dino proved that you can take the training that does with Alex Sadirov is that, you know, they took that Aurora bug on IE6 on XP and wrote exploits that bypassed DAP and ASLR and did all the mitigation bypasses on, I believe. At the time, it was IE8 on
Vista.
And Dino said he did it over the course of 2 weeks. And his motivation was not money or cybercrime. His motivation was to prove that it's somewhat trivial to do.
Yeah.
The argument can be made that the existing mitigations on browsers are somewhat irrelevant. It makes for a good discussion that they are irrelevant. Sandbox escapes exist and are very I wouldn't say they're common, but they exist, and the dangerous bad guys have them. And we really need to be finding new mitigations, which is why there's a lot of all eyes are now on the Microsoft Blue Hat Prize, which I believe tries to put up an incentive for people to think defensive rather than think offense at all times for research. And getting into this whole, is offensive research more dangerous or useful? That's a different argument for another time, but it all kind of ties into.
Yeah. Well, what was the reaction to what you put on Twitter? I think I remember like HD and Mark Dowd and a few other guys replying to you saying, I wouldn't call it irrelevant, but...
Right.
But
like I said in the beginning, it was more of like a tweak. It was aimed at getting those guys to come out and say why these mitigations are not irrelevant, rather than me trying to prove that they are. I think CancerQuest already proved, and that was my message, that my takeaway from CancerQuest, that these mitigations are speed bumps rather than roadblocks. They were billed as roadblocks in the beginning, but it's been proven. And the reaction was, I think Dowd came out and said that it was, a bit too strong a statement. Kaminsky kind of agreed with me, and they had their own discussion going about, relative strength of sandboxes and value of sandboxes. But I thought that, it brought a couple of guys out to the woodworks to start a discussion, which is always fun.
Yeah, it is, especially when, these are the guys who are in the business of actually doing this stuff.
Correct, especially when I've been off of Twitter for months and just suddenly became fun again.
Yeah, I know. You tweeted like once since Christmas, and that was just like the x-ray of your broken neck.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you jump back in with both feet.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's always like whatever, when it becomes fun, you participate more than when it's just, boredom.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Twitter was
starting
to bore me. It's the reason I deleted my Facebook account too. It's just like, couldn't take it anymore.
No, it's the devil's work.
Facebook gives me a rash.
Oh my God. No doubt. So the other thing that we wanted to talk about, which kind of plays into the mitigation discussion, is this RDP bug that Microsoft just patched a couple of days ago in the March Patch Tuesday release, which is one of those bugs that I don't even remember, like maybe 2 or 3 years since we've seen
a remote
pre-auth
network accessible remote code execution the nasty one. Worm of
yeah,
it. I mean, in the old days, this would be a nasty, nasty worm.
This would be Code Red. This would be Blaster. This would be, something along those lines. And it would have been, happening within a week or so.
Two footnotes before we get into this discussion. One footnote is that this bug was reported by Luigi Ariema. It was reported privately via ZDI. I think ZDI bought the bug and reported it to Microsoft. Luigi is also very well known for dropping O'Day. He's the guy who drops a lot of O'Day on SCADA PLC stuff. He gets a rap for being like a guy who really doesn't care about quote-unquote responsible disclosure. So I thought it was really interesting that he did not go the full disclosure route with this one. He probably got a nice paycheck, a nice piece of change from ZDI for it. And he has not dropped the proof of concept either, which is something I suspect he has, because he has done that in the past.
He would almost certainly have that, right? To know that it's exploitable, he would have to have that, I would guess.
Correct. I'm trying to find out how long ago this was reported to Microsoft, because another little footnote is that this affects every version of Windows ever. So it's not one of these bugs that was introduced by some new thing in a new version of Windows. This is something that's been sitting there forever. So how long ago he actually reported it? What is the likelihood that, it was rediscovered by someone else? What is the likelihood that it was already used? I mean, all of this stuff you have to consider. Which segs into nicely into what's happening right now. I mean, this is Microsoft announced, the first we heard of it was Patch Tuesday, which was Tuesday afternoon, yes. Or let's say 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yep, 1 p.m. Eastern. And actually, yeah, somebody we both know well sort of gave us a little hint about it at CanSec West.
Yeah, one of the fun things, and one of the other fun things about CanSec West is just the stuff you hear in that lobby.
Right, and
phenomenal.
Yeah,
because we were standing around trying to figure out where we're going to go for dinner, and someone popped by and say, "Pay careful attention on Patch Tuesday. We have there's a really good one coming."
Yeah, don't be asleep Tuesday afternoon. There's going to be some interesting stuff happening. And so when that popped up on Tuesday, I thought, "Oh, good Lord! Wow, this is this is like 2004 type bug." And you know, something on these along this lines where there's millions of machines. I can't even imagine what the number of actual machines is online that have RDP enabled.
Right, but it's important to mention that it's disabled by default.
Right, but tons and tons and tons of people enable that.
Correct.
You know, it to make life easier for themselves and.
Especially in businesses, small businesses,
sure.
ISPs, a lot of troubleshooting is done.
Yeah.
Using that feature. So right now we're recording this, at 2 p.m., 2:30 p.m. on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
All eyes are on the exploit writers. I can't get a hold of the offensive exploit writers guy to ask if they're close to getting an exploit out. What's going on? All eyes are on. It's like a race against time for someone to create some sort of reliable either proof of concept or full exploit code.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I imagine those guys sitting in a windowless room with Red Bull cans scattered all over the carpet, and it smells really bad, and they just have nine machines, and they're all just jammed in there trying to write this exploit.
Right. And it's funny how it's become a spectator sport. Everyone's on Twitter wondering, has anyone seen anything? Has anyone heard anything? There's been a bunch of fake pastebin posts with fake code. I've been able to determine that three or four of the big pastebin things are all fake. There's one on a Chinese language forum that looks like it's along the lines of being something. There's smoke there. The Microsoft guys I know are monitoring it closely, and I expect them to update their bulletin or advisory if something becomes public. I do not expect to see an exploit public very, very soon. I think even if an exploit is created, it's going to remain private. Maybe the guys at Immunity or Core or these guys are going to
Metasploit, or
if it goes into Metasploit, I would consider that public, public as well. The other thing is, I don't expect to see it within 2 days. I know Microsoft said expect it within 30 days, which is your standard, standard guidance for stuff that they want people to apply immediately.
Yep.
I think 2 days is too short a time to see something. But it's funny how exploit writing post patch it just shows how serious and important this issue is, has become a spectator sport.
Yeah, and I remember starting a few years ago when I don't remember who it was, but somebody said somebody did some work looking at how quickly working exploits would come out after Patch Tuesday, when the bad guys as well as the offensive researchers would just start reverse engineering the patch and figure out where exactly the hole was and what the exploit path would be.
Right.
And they could see giant spikes in attacks against these vulnerabilities, within, depending on the difficulty of the exploit, within a week after the patches come out.
Right.
So there was a really clear correlation between, when those patches are released and you're going to start seeing exploits, quickly after that.
Correct. I think the next, we have 2 more weeks going into April. I think that the next 2 weeks will be really, really interesting. And I think we'll start to see some real malicious activity around this one. It'll be easy to track because there are certain ports that will help the fingerprint attacks. But I think the fact that we haven't seen exploits yet, or we have not seen exploit code yet that can be copied and pasted, because you know what happens, like the real high-end attackers create their exploit code and put it in hand to use in their quote-unquote APT type attacks. And the bottom feeders sit around and wait for the code to get public so that they can copy and paste it into exploit kits and the mass malware things we see. So I don't expect to see mass malware things exploiting this very, very soon, which helps because I think the publicity and the activity around this will push people to patch this faster than they normally would.
I hope so.
As part of MAP, Microsoft Active Protections Program, like all the AV vendors, all the guys like SourceFire and the
IDS guys,
the IDS IPS guys have all been given the information and all this stuff to create their signatures and to add some sort of detection or protection for this bug. So the longer it takes to get public exploit for the bottom feeders, the better it is for the ecosystem, the Windows ecosystem. So that's something to cross your fingers and watch.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to...
The problem is that the bottom feeders will all get a full feed anyway, because there are just some people that just don't patch. There are some businesses that just, you know, they just have their cycle, they have their 60-day cycle, and it doesn't matter how critical it is, they'll just deal with their cycle and just deal with it as is. There's a bunch of machines, there are entire countries running on machines that are not legitimate.
Yeah,
running on bogus copies, pirated
Windows.
Copies of Windows that
and they can't be patched. Yeah,
right. Won't be updated. So the bottom feeders will have a full range of victims to find.
Which sort of circles back to what we were saying about the browser mitigations. You know, those are all great for people that have IE9 running on fully patched. Windows 7, but
it doesn't matter for the exploit kit guys.
For XP and people running IE6 and
the
know,
guys running Zeus and
Firefox.
The guys making money from Zeus and Icepack and Neosploit and these exploit packs, they don't care. They don't care. They're making enough money on people running IE6 on XP.
Right.
I mean, Google got owned on IE6 on XP. So what do you expect from someone in the Philippines running a bogus copy of Windows? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. If you bought your Windows from a street vendor, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah, and you're not even in trouble. Your machine is you don't even own your machine already. So it doesn't matter if someone else comes in and re-owns it.
Yes. All right. Well,
so
this is fun.
We'll have a busy few weeks.
No doubt. It's going to be interesting. It's nice to have something to write about. It's good. So. This is good. We need to have these discussions more often.
Anytime.
All right.
All right,
buddy.
Take it easy.
I will talk to you soon.
All right, later.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Compliments of Kaspersky Lab, a world leader in internet threat protection for small, medium, and large enterprises. Visit Kaspersky.com for more information about their line of premium protection solutions.